Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Ready Your Future podcast. I'm Todd Sepulveda, a regular guy living in the suburbs trying to spread the word about getting prepared for the future. Hey, everyone, I'm so glad that you're hanging out with me on this one. Hey, this is a special episode, one, because it's a roundtable with my friends, Mick Rowland and Brian Hawkins, but it's also special on another level. Now, we're going to be talking about, or the whole reason for this episode is to talk about one of our good friends who passed back in November 2022, Chip Feck. And Chip, he ran the website Crib Steward. If you've been with me since Prepper Website days, I would link to his website and to his articles, and he wrote some really great articles. But he passed away in November 2022. And with that, he was into preparedness and in all of that. And we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, how should we prepare for the end of our life as we know it, right? Or as they know it, as our family might know it, and what that means in the preparedness realm. Of course, we have insurance, we have all those different kinds of things, but then what about the preparedness aspect of it? You know, we have gear, we have stuff that we have stored up. In some cases, some of you are the only one in your family that is prepping. And so if you were to pass, where does that leave everybody? And so we talk a little bit about that. Chip was actually on a few of the other roundtables. We didn't even call them roundtables back in those days, but one of them was from April 20th. I guess that one was a Prepper Website Live that we would do. And that one was observations and lessons learned so far from COVID-19. And I'm just giving you these titles. So if you want to go back and look them up, we also did one on December 2020. And that was bugging out with the Lykovs. That was an article from Mick Rowland's website. And then we did one in February, 2021 on get home bags. And so Chip was there with us, and he was hanging out and sharing, you know, his knowledge and his information on that. But we are happy to bring this to you and happy to talk about this subject, because I know that it would be one that Chip would want to share out, because I mean, he valued preparedness, and he also valued being prepared for the end, you know, the end of the world as our family might know it if we weren't around any longer. So I'm going to go ahead and stop talking here. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our roundtable again with my friends Mick Rowland and Brian Hawkins. So let's go ahead and get to that one. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another Ready Your Future roundtable. I have my good friends Mick Rowland and Brian Hawkins here. Mick is from mick-rowland.com or dash Rowland. I guess I never say that one right. Brian has got Next Step Survival. And we are going to be talking about the end of your world as we know it. And I got to, or prepping for the end of your world. And I got to say, this is a tribute to a friend of ours named Chip Feck. And some of you might remember him from a website called Crib Steward. And so he passed in November 2022. It's been that long since we've done a roundtable, but we were kind of thinking about this one and doing this one back then. And so we just want to give that little quick shout out and then that tribute to Chip. As we move forward, before we get started, I want to just go around the round table and see what we've been doing since the last episode, which again, since 2022, I think. So Mick, what have you been up to since the last episode?
Been cranking out the podcast. Got a weekly Friday podcast that has taken me thus far all the way to the end of book 5 in my series. And so now it's kind of a race, because I'm trying to write book 6 while I'm still narrating first chapters of book 6. So I'm hoping I can write faster than I narrate. It's keeping me busy.
And I apologize. I forgot to say that after I said your website. You know, of course, the Siege of New Hampshire podcast that has been really popular. I know a lot of people enjoy that one. Brian, what have you been up to since the last one?
A lot of blogging, a lot of things around the house, doing some videos for the YouTube, getting bag videos and such. And then I think I got 5 posts out in January, and then everything fell apart when I start working on prepping for my garden and seed starts and that type of thing. But yeah, the content and household stuff.
Yeah, I kind of feel you on that one because it's not since I've been, you know, since 2022, but this beginning of this year really has, I put a break on a lot of different things, just stopped the podcast, really stopped articles, and just was really taking a good long break. And, you know, it's been good. It's always good to take a little bit of a break. I know that I mentioned it before, when you do that, there's always that worry that you're going to be able to come back and get back into it. But things seem to be going well here. And so taking a break is a good one. So we're going to go ahead and kick in here and start on this one. And a question for us to be able to go around. And Mick, I'll let you start it off. Why don't more people prepare for end-of-life scenarios? Now, I guess let me just, before I kick it over to you, Mick, let me just say, one of the reasons this came up is because a lot of the times we don't think about our just our life, and that, you know, we believe that we're gonna live to the end, right? And a lot of the times in the preparedness world, we haven't seen the end of the world as we know it. We're gonna die before that. And I think that's something that we don't talk about very often in prepper world. And I think it's something that we should. From my experience, at least the people that are involved with Ready Your Future and that followed me on Prepper website, all the time I did surveys, you know, the group was a little bit older, you know. And so I think it's really smart to be prepping for, you know, what would happen if we were to pass away and we leave our family. You know, a lot of the times the men, or, you know, or you'll have one person that is, you know, that is the prepper in the household, and everyone else is either, you know, like they tolerate it or whatever it might be. But then if you die and you pass away, or that person passes away, what does the rest of the family do? If they didn't really truly buy into the preparedness side of it, what happens to all of that? You know, that question always kind of comes up. Or even if they are, you know, what, how do they move on beyond that, depending on, you know, who has passed away and things like that. And so I think this is a really worthy topic to discuss. And so again, let me go ahead. I'll kick it over to Mick. Why don't more people prepare for end of life scenarios?
Well, I think it's probably a combination of normalcy bias, thinking that nothing is going to change, and denial, sort of a refusal to let things change. I think of it as, I haven't known anybody like this for a while, but I have known people that will say that, oh, I don't carry a spare tire in my car because I've never had a flat. And so they kind of assume that, well, because you haven't had one yet, then you never will. And I think some of that normalcy bias for end-of-life preparation is like that, that since I haven't died yet, I don't have to worry about it. Which is dumb when you say it out loud, but yeah, I don't know. People seem to think that way anyway. But then the denial part of it kind of reminds me of like when you were a little kid and you thought there was a monster in your closet that you'd throw a blanket over yourself and figure that, well, if I can't see the monster can't see me. So if I just pretend like death isn't out there, then I won't have to deal with it. Which, of course, is not how it works, but there's some sort of visceral little kid appeal that I think a lot of people sort of go with the flow. And I also think there's a little of that superstition that, you know, the old phrase, speak of the devil, that, well, that was an old superstition that if you said the devil's name, then he was going to show up. And so you don't want to ever say the devil's name because that way he won't show up. So I think talking about end of life preparations is kind of like that. If I talk about it, it's somehow inviting it to happen. And if I don't talk about it, well, then it can't happen. Just like the spare tire that you're not going to need because you're never going to get a flat.
You know, I think some people are scared of it, right? I mean, going along those lines, you know, what you're saying, some people are just scared to think about that. It's kind of the same thing when you talk to people about preparedness and you talk about, hey, there could be a time when, you know, you don't have a grocery store, you don't have power, you don't have this. And I've literally had people tell me no, I don't want to talk about that. I have bad dreams. I don't want to even consider that. So definitely can see that.
Yeah, that's the denial thing.
Brian, what about you? Why do you feel more people don't prepare for end-of-life scenarios?
I think so many people they're so busy living life that they can't see past the daily grind. So I think that's one of those things. We've always got time to do that. And a lot of people never get around to it. I think when we're younger, it seems so far distant because we believe we're going to live to an old age that it just like investing, that the ideal time to do all this is when you're younger. And it's just almost so far out. Why worry about it now? Of course, when we get to our age, you start looking back and like, wow, that time really flew by. But I think we're pretty busy. And on top of being busier now, at least I am, you know, with all the things that we have going on with online and the news and all that type of stuff, it's also gotten more complicated in our daily paying the bills, you know, our finances and all that type of thing, and all the things we have going on, you know, with the paying through your checking account or your bank account with the bill pay and the auto debits and monthly things coming out, because everything's a handful of dollars every month anymore, not just the utilities. So it's just that much more important to act on those things right now, because if you have a couple thousand dollars in the bank account, that would dwindle down pretty quickly with all that. If your spouse doesn't know how to stop those, or especially if it's things that you're no longer going to use because you're not around. So you want them to understand how to stop those debits and everything. So things have gotten really busy for us. So we try to automate things, and that automation can be devastating later on.
I definitely agree with how busy things are and how crazy the world is right now and trying to fit it all in. I can completely understand that. For me, you know, I'm going to go back to something that my son shared with me. Probably it's been about 5 years ago, maybe even longer than that. He was over at my parents' house, and I think he was spending the night, and somebody came over to talk about, you know, end of life, you know, preparation, like funeral home and all those different kinds of things, you know, prepping that out, you know, what would it, you know, we're, you know, prepaying the funeral home, prepaying the casket, all the different things, you know, kind of like my parents' wishes and putting that all together. And so my son, who, I mean, he was a teenager at the time, he came back and he said, man, that was really weird to listen to. You know, I really didn't want to listen to that and think about that. But I think a lot of the times, you know, older people start to understand, and maybe they've experienced it. Maybe they had a parent who died and didn't have things prepared. And so it was like, you know, they know all the things that they went through to prepare the funeral, to you know, to do all the work that goes into death certificates and wills and all that kind of stuff. So I think sometimes people see that and like, you know what, I don't want that on my own kids, right? I don't want to pass that down on top of the loss and then having to deal with all this stuff. I just don't want to do that to them. And so it's really it's really a blessing, right? It's really a gift that someone who does that is preparing. I know my previous supervisor, her mom did this way, way in the future. And so when she finally passed, they had everything. I mean, they had the music that they wanted. They had all this stuff was already set up. So she was able to mourn and be able to do what she needed to do and be there for the grandkids and the great grandkids to support them and comfort them and not have to worry about going and dealing with all this stuff that you have to deal with when you have someone that you lose. And so I think it's that mentality, right? The younger people probably aren't going to think about it as much. Older people, maybe, hopefully they will, and they'll, if they've had some kind of experience, they will do it. But I still think there's still a lot of people who don't prepare for end of life scenarios and what that might look like. So you know, something to kind of keep in the back of our mind. So as we as we're thinking about this, I wanted to kind of move into this question here. What can preppers do to make it easier for their surviving spouse? So not necessarily going into, you know, end of life scenarios, dealing with funeral homes and all those different kinds of things. But what about the preparedness side of it and what that might look like? And Brian, I want to go kick it off to you. If you'll go on and tackle this one first.
Sure. I think the most obvious step is life insurance. So life insurance can be a game changer. Things are expensive, not only to take care of the burial or whatever services you require, but also credit card bills, house payments, insurance on all these things. If you're the one handling these expenses, your spouse needs to have access to all those accounts, a list of those accounts, the passwords, and to have the authorization to make changes on this. Investments, bank accounts, all that type of thing. They're going to need PINs, passwords to your phones, your computers, all of this stuff. You may not even... One of the things that I thought of earlier was my wife can't even access our Wi-Fi network. So that's going into my binder next because it just dawned on me. So they need to have, you have to keep in mind they're going to be hurting right at the worst time. They have to be able to handle this. So maybe they can get help. I believe my daughter would help my wife. So I kind of wrote that for her a little bit and list everything, all the accounts and what should be done with this. This should be stopped. She doesn't need this. She don't need my hosting bill and all that stuff, but she needs the electricity to stay on, right? And you need to have this much money in the account by this time or they're going to turn it off. Your taxes have to be paid on your home, car insurance, plates, all that type of thing. It sounds a little overwhelming. So you just take it step at a time and start writing all that down. And if you can have a document or a binder of something for your loved one, your husband or wife, have them understand, you don't have to worry about this right now, but when I go, this needs to be the first thing you look at. This is going to have my insurance policies. This is what you need to take to the funeral home. Having been executor of my mother and my father when they passed, I got to learn how well prepared the funeral homes are. So you take them the insurance policies and they could go, you know, and help you make your decisions and everything. And you don't have to contact insurance companies. They'll do that for you. So, but you have to have the policies. You have to understand what the death benefit is and all that type of thing.
Hey, you mentioned your binder. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? I mean, what does it look like? What kind of...
What it looks like. It's, oh snap, I died, game over. And it's a pretty thick binder and it has everything I just told you about, along with some, I think Mick might have, somebody mentioned starting a generator? So little things like that, things that I take care of. So when I have to do something, because, or if, especially if my wife has to wait for me to get home from work, I'm like, okay, this is something that I need to either teach her or get in this binder. So the generator, which turned into a blog post or video or something on my channel. So, you know, we always turn our daily lives into content, online content. But yeah, just the first things are the insurance policies, bank accounts, the investments, and what to turn off, what to, you know, it's mostly financial type of things, passwords, all that stuff.
You know, and I think you're right. When you said like, it would be a very overwhelming thing to kind of sit down and try to like, hey, but I'm going to take this weekend and I'm going to knock out my binder, right? And do that. You're right. It would be very overwhelming. If anyone has ever done this type of thing, not necessarily for passing away, but maybe your job responsibilities, your job role at work, and what they'll say is like, hey, just in case anything happens or whatever it might happen, why don't you, and we did have this happen at work where someone had a stroke and they weren't able to share all the information that, you know, all the ways things worked and all that kind of stuff. And so because of that, you know, people's eyes were a little open and like, okay, we need to start tracking what we're doing. And, you know, I use Microsoft OneNote at work. And then, you know, hey, the month of whatever, you know, January, these are the things that I do. These are the, you know, this is where I go. This is how I, you know, things you need to be thinking about, or I start planning for this and putting all that stuff down so that you're able to, you know, print it out or share it with someone so that someone could keep it if they needed it. Same type of idea for you and for your household is start going through like, hey, you know, we're going into tax season. Some people are still getting their taxes together. And maybe now would be a good time, like, hey, in the month of January, February, March, whatever, you're starting to write down all the different ways of how I do, you know, here's the accountant's number and this is what I do and this is what you got to give them. And so you take some, you know, you do it somewhere. Maybe you want to do it online and then you print it out and then you put it in a binder like you have, Brian. But I think, you know, doing it a little bit at a time is the right way of doing that. Mick, what about you? What can preppers do in your opinion to make things a little easier for their surviving spouse?
I was going to key off of what Brian was talking about with his O Snap folder. Is one of the things that we tend to take for granted is all the stuff that we've got passwords for and logins and accounts. It's no big deal to us because we've been accumulating it kind of like barnacles over the course of years. But whoever's trying to pick up the pieces, they got to learn it in a day. And if you're doing that, it's overwhelming. So rather than make it a Easter egg hunt where you didn't tell them even which yard the eggs are hidden in, that you write it all out and, like Brian said, prioritize the important stuff. They might not need your PlayStation access code. That could wait. But one of the things that I thought we could do for the surviving spouse is pre-train them, at least get them clued in on a lot of the stuff that we do. One of the things that really stood out to me a while back was my wife has a friend who is, I think, a high school friend. They corresponded for years, but her husband died suddenly. And it was more than devastating to her because he did everything. She didn't even know how to put gas in the car because he even did that. So that she was at a complete and total loss because he was like her life support machine and he got turned off. And so she had nothing. And I'd say she was devastated for years. I haven't heard recently, but it had been a long time. She hadn't really had a hard time recovering from that because she just had no clue. She didn't pay the bills. She didn't do any of the banking. She didn't do the taxes. I mean, like I say, she didn't even put gas in the car. So she had no idea how that happened. So that guy put his wife at a serious disadvantage so that when he was gone, she was drinking from a fire hose trying to figure out life as well as everything else that comes along with that. So I guess I would say, husbands, do your wives a big favor and show them how that stuff works. I mean, I don't want to sound like the champion husband, but my wife knows how to put gas in the car, so that's a plus. But like Brian was saying, I think Brian and you and I were talking about the generator that I'd showed her how to start it and how it's fussy. You can't let the choke stay on or it'll foul the plug and die. And, you know, just little things that I've learned by trial and error, but she isn't going to have time for. And so there's a lot of those just day-to-day things. So, I mean, I was even showing her how to use the chainsaw a little earlier this year so that she's comfortable using a chainsaw. So just, it's little stuff, but if you can share the skills, then they're not quite so wiped out as that poor wife was.
Yeah, we talk a lot about skills and building our skills, and sometimes we don't, you know, we don't think about, hey, are we sharing those skills with our significant others? You know, I was thinking about a recent thread in the email group. One of our members, and I never share names unless it's one of you guys, because it's like everybody knows you guys, right? You're always on the podcast. But they'd share that their son had passed away and they didn't have access to their phone. And so they, you know, they weren't able to get into like their email. They weren't able to get into even the social media type stuff. It's kind of weird. I have a cousin who passed away. He was a little bit older than me, but he's still on social media, on Facebook, like he's still alive. Like no one has ever said he's passed away. I think Facebook has a way that a family member can go in there and like memorialize their, you know, their Facebook account or whatever. But he pops up like every year during his birthday, and people who don't know he's died will go, and it's kind of, I'm laughing at it, but it's really weird. They'll go and they'll wish him happy birthday, you know? And I'm like, man, they don't know that he's passed away. This is really weird. But this this group member was just talking about how hard it was. And you have some of these phones like iPhones, you try the password so many times, it locks it, and then you can't get to it at all. And so, you know, that's one of those things to consider. Even your phone, the phone password, sharing that, putting that somewhere to where they can get to the different things on the phone. Mick, I'm sorry, Brian, you had something else to share along those lines.
Yeah, I did. Like Mick was talking about the chainsaw. And so right away, I thought, I hope she knows to feed the chickens, right? So little things like that we're taking care of probably should be addressed. And then also I wanted to bring up password managers. It's one of you brought that up. And I have a big old master password for the password manager. And I have to change that every 30 days. So I have to update my book. And since I'm doing that, if anybody got their hands on his book, I'd be devastated, unless, you know, if I was alive, because they'd have access to literally everything digital or online in my life. And so we want to protect all of that. We want to keep all that locked up and then ensure that our spouse can access it, whether it's in a safe or hidden or wherever. And then another thing that I have on there is a calendar. So there's certain months that I pay certain things, and I also pay a lot of things annually, because I don't really care for monthly payments. Like my hosting fee is annually, which I believe is in February or March. I just paid it. So that's a big old bill. So if she kept that same bank account, they're going to take that out, you know, if I pass now in 11 months, they're going to take that out if she wants it or not. And that's a big, huge debit. And that would be painful, especially for something she obviously doesn't need. And she'd need access to my email account and my text messages to get these notifications. So, and then the last thing is social media. So if you have social media accounts, it'd be helpful if they knew what you wanted to do with that. There's certain things that you can do with certain, I don't know, I believe it's Facebook and everything, and I forgot what it's called, but where, you know, it's pretty much closed, but other people can go on there and comment and stuff, or you can just have it or delete it or have it deleted if they have the password and access to those things. But a lot of times, if it's coming from a different IP address or a different phone or browser or something, they're going to want you to verify your identity. And that's where they're going to need access to your text messages, your phone, or your email, or they're not going to be able to verify even though they're acting on your behalf. So those are the things I had in mind.
Yeah, I think a password manager is a great idea. Which one do you use?
I'm using LastPass. I've been using that for years and years.
Yeah, I use Bitwarden, and so I think it's really relevant. You know, one of the things you could do is, if you were worried about someone getting your binder, is you could put a little note: "Hey, the password to my password manager is in our special secret location," whatever that might be, that only she would know, right? And then that way she could go and get it that way. So you're playing a little stealth game there. So one of the things that I think about, and so this came up because of people that I know in preparedness that their spouses have passed away. And, you know, they're like, we've all said they were devastated. They were thinking through, like, you know, some people were like, what do I do with all this preparedness stuff? What do I do with the firearms? What do I do with all this food? I don't want it. I'm going to throw it away. Other people were, you know, like, okay, I have all this. I just really don't know what to do with it. So a while back, I wrote an article about this, and the idea was coming from a point of view of a husband, and that he had passed away, and he was leaving a letter. And the title of the article was "The Best Preparedness Gift You Can Give a Loved One." And so the idea is like there was a letter that really gave steps on what to do. You know, like, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. If you have questions about what to do with this, you can ask so-and-so. And then kind of really laid it out. And I really thought that that was something that I would want to do as well, right? And along with the binder that Brian was sharing, I think that's a great idea. I think everyone should have that. But then along with that, it's like, hey, here are some steps to take along with the preparedness stuff, right? We have buckets of food in this closet. They are good. They will not expire. Don't listen to anybody else. You know, they will not expire until this date, or look at the date on top of the bucket. We have firearms. Don't just sell them, you know, to the cheapest bidder. Don't just turn them in. They're going to be worth, you know, they're worth this amount of money, you know, those, that type of stuff. I have silver, or I have gold, or here's, you know, our retirement, whatever it might be. If you ever need, you know, water, here's, you know, here are the ways that you can filter water, and, you know, here are the steps to do it, and just kind of lay it out, you know? And I think that would be, coming from like the preparedness point of view, is like, how can you feel confident that your family would have this information, even if they don't really prep? I had also shared, and I believe this was on a podcast episode a while back, maybe doing a book where you're writing down all the, I believe I shared this when I talked about the Prepper Commonplace book, is if you had a book with your handwriting, with your thoughts on preparedness, and your family was able to get a hold of that, they might not want to just throw it away or get rid of it, because it's your handwriting and it's your thoughts and your ideas. And maybe they would take some of that and take it to heart, and they would see that it was a really big, important piece, you know, of your life. And so it's kind of like how I feel that what preppers can do for their, you know, outside of the things that we've talked about, is really getting into the preparedness side of it and making things a little bit easier for them, you know, by doing that. Guys, does anyone else have anything else as far as the, you know, the end of the world as we know it? I'll throw this out here, this question. What would you do if you felt like you had a diagnosis and you had a year, 2 years to live along those lines? What would be different for you along those lines? And Mick, do you want to, no, I'm putting you on the spot, Mick. Is there anything there that you maybe could lend to that?
Well, I guess if I knew I had, let's just say a year, 6 months, whatever, but it wasn't like next week, that I think I would probably start pruning stuff down. As Brian was talking about, you can have a bajillion things and a lot of them can be really low priority. If I had the time, I'd go through and just cancel all those low priority things that just aren't going to be necessary, so that there's just that much less to have to deal with. But then too, there's time to give things away rather than have people figure out what to do with it. We had a lady at church that, well, she beat her diagnosis. The doctors told her she had like 3 months to live. She wouldn't see Christmas, but it was 2 years later and she was still there. So she had plenty of time. She didn't know it, but she was in the process of giving her things away so that there would be just that much less to have to deal with after she was gone. And I thought, well, like when it comes to the firearms, something that's kind of valuable but sort of important and quasi-dangerous, you'd have time to get them into appreciative hands as opposed to have them go out at a garage sale for $10. As well as other things that you knew, well, if you only had a year left, then it doesn't matter that your 25-year freeze-dried food is going to last 24 more years because you don't care. But you'd have time to get that to somebody who could appreciate it. So I think I'd use that time to try and pare down the problem so there was less to have to deal with.
Yeah, good ideas there. There's a local Facebook group, preparedness group that I'm in. I joined it early on in preparedness, in my preparedness journey. And the guy who was kind of the head of that group in the local group, he passed away. And so his wife was into preparedness, but she was able to put it out there, to the group. Hey, I have this, I have that. Can you guys give me some insight into this? Or I have this that I know that I'm going to be selling, or I need to sell. Is anyone interested in it? Can anyone give me a fair price on it? And so she had a group to be able to talk to and to bounce ideas off of. That might be something to connect people with, maybe a group and connect with other preppers that you can ask questions about. Brian, do you have anything to add to that one?
Yeah, kind of following up on that. In my, oh snap, I died binder, are so, the group I should start with, the group that you created, the Ready Your Future email group, has led to offline relationships that I've become friends with, where I have their phone numbers and call them and everything. And I've listed some of those in there. Not only to contact and say, well, if you don't see this guy for a while, this is probably why. And but also my wife has made in a comments in the past, she's overwhelmed, and it's and admittedly it can get overwhelming when you look at some of the stuff I've accumulated over the years. She says, what in the world am I supposed to do with all of this? I'm selling the house and getting a condo. I can't handle this property. The house is too big, it's too much property. She's said right up front, it's gone and I'm getting a condo. And now this won't fit there. So in this binder is people to call to say, hey, look, we got all these pantry and survival equipment. And I've told her, I said, you call these guys here and say, take a few days off, come to Michigan. Load up. It's not going to cost you a thing. Just get it out of the way to help her so she doesn't have to move this stuff out of there. And I may even add your name in there, Todd, just to get rid of my website. So I may just say, call Todd, see if he wants these websites. Wouldn't cost you a thing. Just take them over. It has to be, in that case, it has to be somebody that knows how to transfer or maintain the hosting, transfer the URL, or maybe find somebody. Or even sell it. I wouldn't care. Just to keep it going, and get it off of her plate. So the contacts we've made over the years, some of those can help but she doesn't know unless she knows. So we have to leave her that information. And then the last thing that I would mention that we haven't really mentioned yet is a will. So if I happen to have guns, which I may or may not have, that type of stuff. Some of that things, that's not going to be something that you can just like give away. And you definitely don't want her having something that she doesn't feel comfortable with. So like my children and stuff would inherit that stuff. But I would list things that's not in the will in your binder, but things like physical things. You don't have to be rich or have a huge accumulation of valuables to have a will. And if you have children, you definitely want to have a will so that there's no debate later on what happens to your children, that your wife or your spouse or whoever you decide to be the caretaker or the new parent.
Good points. Hey, I was listening to I think it was a podcast, maybe I was watching a video this week on Arthur Burgess, and he's the author of Clockwork Orange. And so he was told that he only had like 2 years to live or something like that. And so it's like he was concerned about his wife and he wanted to make sure that he could take care of his wife. So he was an author and he went and didn't really have a lot of success, but he went crazy putting out books. And so he wrote like, three or four, and it was really great sellers. Clockwork Orange has been turned into a movie, and then a lot of people have read that one. But anyway, so these got really successful. And part of it was, I think the reason why this came up in the podcast or the video was just because you're not thinking about it. You just focus and you start writing and you start going. And so that's what he was doing. He was hyper-focused to be able to leave something behind that could make some money for his wife. Well, it turned out that the diagnosis was wrong. He wound up living. I think he lived into the 90s, I think. But anyway, he was able to do all this, but it was because he focused and was able to put it together. You know, if there's things that are out there that are, you know, have money that you could, you know, do something with money or whatever, you might want to think about that, you know. And, you know, Mick, in your situation where you have books on Amazon or you have Audible with your audio books, you know, that's something that you could, you know, kind of figure out, like let your wife know, let your family know, put that in the will, you know. It's like, hey, this is how this goes down and this is who gets this afterwards, those different kinds of things. So anyway, so that's kind of what I was kind of thinking about there, kind of helping out. I know that that was something that Chip was working on when, you know, before he passed, when he got his diagnosis. He was like, hey, what can I do to, you know, for my wife to be able to be a blessing to her after I pass on, to bring in some money. So let's go ahead and go to our last little portion of the episode of the roundtable. I wanted to, this is usually a time where we just kind of share a quick idea or a thought, or even if you wanted to share a favorite memory of Chip. And so one of the things that I wanted to share is, you know, Chip is a little older than me, not too much older, but a little older than me. And he was a believer. And so one time we were on a Zoom call and we were sharing, you know, information or whatever. And I think we were talking about music, Christian music. And he said, yeah, I was in a Christian rock band when I was, you know, when I was younger. And I laughed, you know, because I started laughing. And he goes, wait a minute. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at me? And I was like, it's just Mick. I mean, Chip, it's hard to imagine you, you know, at your age playing Christian rock. And anyway, what people think is of Christian rock is not really Christian rock. My dad was a founding board member of a radio station here in the Houston area, a real popular Christian radio station. And back in the day, they would say Christian rock, and it was not Christian rock at all. It was like, you know, top 40 type stuff. So I'm like, yeah, it's probably not real hard rock, you know, type stuff. But anyway, I always kind of messed with him on that. And that was always fun. I remember when he, you know, he had his diagnosis and he was letting us all know and all that stuff, but he did call me out of the blue one day, and we talked for a good long time about what to do with his website. And so he wanted me to download his website. He was going to go ahead and take it offline because he didn't know, he was trying to save money. He was trying to do all that kind of stuff. And he didn't know what he was going to wind up doing with it, but he asked me to go ahead and get in there. He gave me the passwords. He asked me to bring it down and to, or at least to zip it all up and to have a record of it. The thing is that we never talked about what to do, you know, if he passed. Right? It's like, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to put it up? Do you want me to incorporate it into another website? I mean, you know, the articles and things like that. What do you want to do? So it's just kind of sitting on my computer. The thing is that he had some really great preparedness advice and great articles and stuff like that. You can find all of those on archive.org. And that's the great thing about, you know, the internet. And I'll link to that in the description of the podcast. So you can go and you can bounce around and read some of his articles. The last articles that he put up were on community, you know, building community within your prepper universe, right? And I'll link to that, but he's got some really good stuff out there, and you can check that out. And it's kind of like leaving a little bit of a legacy, you know, preparedness legacy, where you're leaving that information out there for other people to find. You just got to know where to go to find it. And so hopefully people will find his stuff with the links that we're going to share. Mick, what about you?
I got to know Chip through the Zoom calls. I didn't have any other contact with him prior to that. So he was just another of the Zoom buddies for the every other Tuesday thing. So we all got a lot more familiar with each other during COVID. And So he was a friend in that sense. One of the things that I really appreciated about him was that he was an early listener to my audio podcast of the books. And yeah, all right. So I'm not the most secure individual that I thought, oh, I sound like a duck in a bucket. And I don't have a narrator's voice. I don't sound like James Earl Jones. So I was all kinds of insecure about putting it out there. But Chip was always very encouraging about the work that I was doing and had good things to say, little tips on things. But it was just nice to have some positive feedback because, well, like you were saying about social media, a lot of times you just don't get any feedback. You launch your things out there and it's, you know, like a note in a bottle and you don't know if anybody ever got it. So Chip was a bottle that came back and was an encouragement that way. So I appreciated that.
Ryan, what about you?
I got to know Chip through your Ready Future list and also on a mastermind meeting our mastermind group that we both belong to. And I don't recall the month. I think it was the end of 2020. He had contacted me about my pantry inventory. And it turned out he had developed a family preparedness toolbook where it went into great depth and detail on getting prepared for actually almost every aspect of your finances. And he was interested in what I was doing. And I believe I may have had just put out a video on my, what I call my in plain sight inventory, because I'm just not good with, doing the stuff on the computer, you know, with inventory sheets or anything like that. Or I tried so many different things and I just can't keep up. I just won't do it. So I got to talking to him about that. And then he wanted me to see his booklet, the preparedness toolkit that he had put together. So I went ahead and bought that from him on his website, you know, as soon as I think it may have been a phone call. I'm not sure, but I went ahead and purchased it. And he's like, oh, wait, I didn't want you to buy it. I was just going to give it to you to review it. And I'm like, no, too late. Just keep the money. It's because as soon as I seen it, I thought, this, I don't even recall what it cost, but it was a fraction of what this thing was worth. I looked at the amount of effort and expertise that he had put in these documents and these sheets that you would fill out. And I thought, this is amazing. So what that gave me was, and I also had talked to him about my, and I actually had this back then, the Oh Snap, I Died binder. And from discussions with Chip and from his preparedness toolkit, it was a game changer for what I had in here. I realized it was soulfully lacking as far as what needed to be in there. A lot of what he had in there was beyond what I would need, because I don't have a lot of the assets that he covers. But yeah, with the help of Chip, that took this from, you know, a little child's play up into what I consider a well organized and hopefully turns out to be a well prepared binder for my wife should something happen to me.
Very good. Yeah, he was very thorough in what he prepared. That was really good stuff there. So, and I wonder if I haven't looked at it in a while. He had a buy me a coffee page, and I don't know if you could just, he had it automated to where you could purchase and then it would send it to you. I don't know. Maybe we need to check that out, and maybe we'll put a link to his buy me a coffee page and see if it's still up. Well, everyone, good episode, and a topic that's kind of hard to really to kind of push through and to really think about. A lot of people don't want to think about this one. I want to kick it and just go one more round. Is there anything you want to share? Maybe share what you have coming up so that people can go and check out your sites or your podcast or your YouTube videos and what you have coming out. And we'll go ahead and end it from there. Brian, I'll kick it to you. Do you have anything coming up or anything last thing that you want to share?
I just ignored another birthday last month. I always try to ignore them because it's just like getting prepared to, or what Mick was talking about, mentioning the devil. You don't want to even think about it. But I'm getting closer to that old man status. I know I look it, but I'm getting closer in my mind anyway. And one of the things that I think about is what we kind of touched on earlier. If you do get a diagnosis that you have 6 months or whatever, that also can be painful if you're not prepared for that diagnosis. If you're right now, I have to rely on an income and I have to go to work 5 days a week to maintain that income. And it's a demanding job. It's kind of a young man's job as a local truck driver. If I get to the point to where I can't function in that job, my income goes away. If the income goes away, I may be able to do some things, you know, I don't know how long it takes to get maybe disability or something to get you by, but you need to have an emergency fund that's significant enough to continue with your insurance, your life insurance. So it would be pretty bad to pay on a life insurance policy for 20 years and 6 months before you need it, you can't pay those premiums. And now you're uninsurable. So in my mind, those are the most important bills that I have. I never miss one. I'm never late on one. And I try to make sure that I have enough cash on hand to continue those payments, whether or not my income is there. That's very tough, especially, you know, they're expensive. But once you get the diagnosis or you're injured, you know, car wreck, whatever, now you're uninsurable. You can't get it anymore after that. So it's important to maintain what you have. So that's just something to think about.
That's a really good point, Brian. Really good point. Mick, any last things you want to share, or any, you know, what's happening for you in on your spaces, you know, on your website or on your podcast, anything you want to share?
Well, I'll share something that occurred to me from when Brian was talking. Something that can make life easier is if you have your spouse as a co-signer on your bank accounts. Or I know we've got some IRAs and other things where it's technically in my name, but her name is on there too. And so there's a lot of joint accountness so that it's not requiring just me to deal with something, that she's able to step in and do it, which of course also is a trust exercise that I don't come home to. Well, she's not really into collecting shoes, but if she was, then I'm not going to come home to 12 new boxes of shoes. But the passwords, I thought there's another marital benefit. If you've shared the password on your phone, it's a lot harder to be keeping secrets. So that's good for your marriage right now, even if you never need it.
Very true. Very true.
But as
for me, the last thing that I'm going to share is Chip was a believer. And so I know, you know, we talked about faith often. So I know that I will see him again. And I have no doubt about that. I will see him again in the future. So we won't be talking about preparedness. We won't be talking about food storage or any of that kind of stuff. We'll have other things to talk about. So that'll be really cool. And so I'll get to share, like, hey, we did a whole episode for you, man. So, you know, how about that? All right, guys. Hey, don't forget to go check out Mick's podcast, Seeds of New Hampshire. He is putting out some really great stuff. Even some of the Doom chats I've been listening to were really great. Go check out the website. You know, Mick's got some really great articles. He really puts a lot of effort into his articles, which I greatly appreciate. Brian has a lot of great articles as well, you know, the YouTube channel that he does. And, you know, I just have a feeling like he's going to be popping out a whole bunch of more YouTube videos here pretty soon. And he's going to just take the prepper YouTube world by storm. So make sure that you are you're paying attention to that. And then we're going to have some links for you, including one that Brian wrote on the End of Life Binder. You go check that out, and the article on, you know, the best preparedness gift. You can go check that one out. And we'll put that all in the description of the podcast episode or in the show notes, and you can go check that out. Well, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on this one. We greatly appreciate it. And if you have any ideas for another roundtable, things that you would like Mick and Brian and I to discuss, hey, shoot me an email at todd@readyyourfuture.com and let me know what other topic you'd like for us to cover. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see y'all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, once again, Brian, Mick, thanks so much for hanging out on this episode and sharing your knowledge of this topic. It is one of those that's kind of a little surreal, right, when you're talking about it, but we think it's so important. Listen, Chip was a good guy. I miss him. I miss our talks that we had, the private talks that we had, and then when he would hang out in the email group and then on the Zooms when we would do those. And like I said during the roundtable, during this episode, I know I will see him again. But I hope that you will take some time to reflect on the truth of this episode and be proactive. You know, no one likes to think about this topic, but it sure is helpful if things are in place, if things go sideways for you. Well, guys, like always, I'm going to link to the articles that we kind of mentioned. There is the article that I referred to in this one, and then also there's the two articles that will go over to Brian Hawkins' website, Next Step Survival, and one talking about that live binder that he mentioned. And then also I'm going to link to archive.org because you can still get to Chip's website there and still access the articles that are there. If you want to go and peruse those, I would welcome you to do that and just kind of keep that, keep that information and the legacy of the preparedness information that he shared alive. So all those will be linked into the show notes. Well, everyone, that is another Ready Your Future episode for you. Hey, listen, if you want to hang out with a community of very knowledgeable preppers, safe from the algorithms of social media, come check out the Ready Your Future exclusive email group. This is an email group where you can ask questions, participate in discussions, and attend our virtual online meetups that happen twice a month. It is super affordable and well worth it. The link is in the show notes or visit readyyourfuture.com. I'd love for you to come and hang out with me and all the other preppers that are in the group. Hey, with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government, grid, or the grind. Until next time, live with no regrets and stay prepped and aware. Peace.